What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of A Brighter Day. If this is your first episode, then welcome. If not, and you've been tuning in for a few weeks, thank you once again for tuning into this podcast. But today I wanted to go ahead and read something out of Isaiah. That is what I'm currently studying in. So if you have your Bibles out, go ahead and open them up to Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to go ahead and read just the first verse. Not the first verse, but the 14th verse in 43, and its title over the NLT version says, God's mercy and Israel's unfaithfulness. Verse 14 says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So I decided when I was reading it, I really felt prompted by God, like, hey, you know, what is a redeemer? Like, you know, and how and what that is defined by. And so I decided to kind of look into it in more depth. And so I went into my dictionary and I opened up, well, not in the paper dictionary, obviously everything's online, but I went into the dictionary and I searched for redeemer. And the only thing that came up in the dictionary was Christ. So then I decided, well, I kind of feel like I already knew that, because in the church, redeemer is something and a lingo and a term that we do hear a lot. But I really wanted to unpack like what it is to redeem, that action. So when I read it, it said to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something, aka to save, to rescue, to justify, to vindicate, to qualify, to absolve, to remove guilt from. And when I read that, I felt like, wow, that really defines who Christ is and what he came to do on this earth. He came to resolve us, to justify, to vindicate us, to qualify us, to absolve us, and to remove guilt from us. And it was something that really stirred something in me, because I feel like a lot of people that are, you know, have not given their life to Christ just yet, maybe they're struggling with opening up the word or believing in who God is. They really think of him. At least I also was one of those people at one point that really thought of him as this big man that was in the sky that just wanted to give rules and regulations and didn't want us to have fun or like have this life. And so when I read that, I felt like it just defined it on a better level for me. And just, I wanted to share that, because God didn't come, and Christ wasn't sent here on earth to, you know, give us these rules and these regulations to make life binding for us. He came to set us free and to absolve us and to qualify us and to remove the guilt and the shame from that we were going to be living in. And so that's why this, you know, was really important for me to unpack, because I really wanted to understand on another level once again what it was to redeem something. It also says, it's also defined actually as to do something that compensates for poor past performance or behavior. And I thought that part was super powerful, because how many of you guys have made a mistake? I know that I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I'm very sure and aware that I'm not perfect, and so I'm probably going to keep making them. And I think that's part of being a human, is that we're not perfect and that we do, you know, make mistakes, and we learn from them and we grow from them and we just keep up evolving in that sense. But as a redeemer, Christ came because he knew there was going to be a poor past performance, and he came to cover that with his love and to basically make a way for us so that we didn't have to live and sulk and continue to be in that state. It also says, which I thought was probably one of the best definitions to me that I loved, was to pay the necessary money to leave, to pay the necessary money to clear the debt. And when I see Christ, I see him as somebody who was sent to earth to clear the debt. If you're somebody who maybe thinks in numbers or maybe thinks in those types of way, this will make probably more sense to you. Somebody, it's like having a huge debt, you know, taking out all these loans. Maybe it was for college, maybe it was for your car or your home. You're in a huge debt, a debt that you probably could never pay back. Maybe it's, we'll just throw out a random number, but maybe it was $1 million debt, you know, $1 million debt, a debt that you maybe could never probably pay off. It was just going to be something that was going to haunt you. But there, it's like somebody coming and saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pay that $1 million debt. Somebody that you maybe, you know, didn't really have no idea who they were or whatnot. And that's what Christ did for us. When Christ came to earth for us, he came to clear our debt like that. He said, look, I know you're going to make mistakes. I know that you are going to, you know, do this or that, you know, maybe lie, cheat, steal, you know, but he's like, look, I came to cover that. I came to pay that debt for you so that when you basically learn that lesson of your wrongdoings, you don't have to let that haunt you for the rest of your life. So you can repent for your sin and your mistakes and you can be made new. And I just thought that was so powerful. When you look up what redeem is, in the Latin sense, it actually means re-amir. Re means back and emir means buy. So it literally means to buy back. And so Christ bought back who you were. You know, basically Christ bought us back. He bought us back for a price that maybe we were unfathomable about, just so that we could be reconciliated with him. And I thought that was super powerful. You know, I thought that the biggest thing about sharing this podcast episode today was mainly going to be about the Redeemer. But I also wanted to share because Christ and God, or both, you know, they really transformed my life. You know, before I was a Christian, I really felt like I had no purpose. And I felt like a lot of the things that had happened in my life had really just set the tone for how the rest of my life was going to be. Past abuse, past bad relationships, past mistakes in relationships, not saving myself for marriage. It was a lot of different things. And I really felt like those mistakes or those things that I did that were not right in my eyes, I really thought that was going to haunt me for the rest of my life. And I think the beautiful thing of what Christ did for us was show us how unconditional his love was for us. And when I gave my life to the Lord, I actually did get water baptized when I was in middle school, but when I truly stepped into God's love and rededicated myself to God when I was in my 20s, it changed my life. It really set me on a new path. It really made me hungry for a different like phase in my life. Like I didn't know that my heart was missing this person, you know, this being, you know, I didn't know that there was a shape in my heart that was literally a hole that only God could fill. It was nothing else that would fill it, you know? And I feel like for so many years, I truly tried to fill it with materialistic things, with relationships, with, you know, accomplishments, with different types of things, and nothing, no matter what I did, no matter how many things, you know, I did, would fill that hole. It wasn't until I gave my life to Christ and he showed me what it was to live for him that I felt this completeness and this wholeness that I never felt. And I do believe that has a lot to do with where I am today. Actually, I know it has everything to do with where I am today, because I don't believe, had I not stepped into that relationship with him, I would be married nor have a child, or really be in this place where I'm really happy with my life. You know, I think when I was really young, I always thought that I wanted to have a lot of money and live in a big house and drive a really fancy, nice car and all these kind of things. And those were like my goals and aspirations, you know, maybe get like a really prestigious title degree and like all that. And like, that was my idea of what a happy, perfect life was. And, you know, here I am at my age and, you know, I'm not living in a big fancy house, and I don't drive like a really fancy car, but I feel like I'm living in such a way that is modest, but it also is very, you know, in a position to where I feel like I can give and I feel good with that, you know? And if you would have asked me that, I feel like, you know, maybe those years ago, I would have thought, oh my gosh, I'm a failure that I'm, you know, in that space, or that I'm barely going to transfer to this 4-year college and all that. But I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be for where God has me. And I feel like a lot of people, when they struggle, you know, with like depression or all those kind of things, a huge deal as to why they're not happy is because they are so caught up in the world's idea of, you know, happiness and success that they really can't see what truly it is to be fulfilled and happy in Christ. And it is so different, you know, the world's mentality and Christ's, you know, kingdom-minded mentality, they're very, very different. And so I really truly believe that it was in relationship with the Redeemer that I am here where I am today. And that's why it was something that I felt like I really wanted to share, but I also felt like Christ had really put that on me. Something that I've also been struggling with, which, you know, I would ask for your prayers about, would be just being lukewarm. You know, they mentioned this at church about maybe like 2 weeks ago, and it really struck home with me. You know, I feel like in my walk with Christ, I really feel like I am trying my hardest to put Him first, but there are so many things going on that I feel like really can get you like off the path, you know, which is maybe like certain ways of talking with your friends, you know, maybe gossiping, or maybe, you know, in the things that you're listening or watching on TV. You know, some people may think that's radical, but I feel like censoring yourself from, you know, certain types of music and television and even certain ways that you talk with your friends, I think is really vital to your spirit, because when you let that kind of stuff in, it really does something to you. It really kind of like triggers inside of you this like different, like, I can't explain it, but I just feel like it really just is off-putting, and it kind of derails you from where God wants you. I believe that like God says to stay away from, you know, certain things, not because, once again, He's trying to bind us, but because He's trying to have us live in freedom. And when we really focus on gossip and we focus on those types of things, I think that it really just gets your mind on the wrong thing. You know, we're called to love people, not talk about them. We're called to, you know, live in such a way that we're, you know, putting Him first and putting other people first. And I feel like when I am living that way, I am in the hot part of the water. But it's when I feel like I start allowing these certain things to come in, it's damaging to, I feel like, my spiritual fruit. And so I felt like when they were talking about that at church, about lukewarm, it really struck home with me, because I'm like, I really want to be in that place where I was when I first gave my life to Christ, which was on fire for God. You know, like, I just couldn't wait to share the gospel with people. I couldn't wait to really have, you know, conversations about what He did for my life and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I believe that, you know, now I feel like I still do share all of that, but it is very, like, I'm really, like, extra cautious, and I want to filter myself, because I don't want people to think I am a Bible thumper and, like, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I really want to get rid of that. You know, I feel like it's almost like a shame that some Christians can carry, because they don't want to, like, share fully, you know, things. And I feel like also another issue that I have been realizing is that my passion and my love for social justice also really kind of trickles into my relationship with God. A lot of it is good, but I do feel sometimes the unforgiveness and the unwillingness to see things like in a softer way, I'm more hard on it instead of being a little bit merciful, you know. And yesterday when I was at church, I feel like that was something else. So I really just want to be a lot more softer and, you know, kinder with the way that I am on, I think, like, even on social media with posts. You know, it was actually, I'm not going to say any names, but it was actually on my Instagram one day that I seen that there was a artichoke festival, and they had put on the Salinas, California, and it was like a little paper, and it said, "Why is the artichoke festival being moved to Monterey?" And the first thing that came to mind was gentrification, because usually a lot of times when things are moved from small communities to bigger communities with a lot of affluent, you know, area with money and resources, it has, you know, a lot to do with that. And so I had put reposted that, but I had put, like, on my own, like, gentrification. And I got a message from a girl, and who actually had lots of, you know, good conversations with her. She's very, very nice and sweet. And she was just like, look, like, you know, like, this is, you know, really like why I got moved and blah, 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 blah. And right when she told me that, you know, I kind of felt like, well, you know, that still could, you know, define as gentrification. But I think more I felt God impressed in my heart was like, you know, you have people that are following you that, you know, or that you may follow, that you really value these relationships, even though maybe you may not know them, but you really value. But so you, and you have to be kind to what you say, because it's not that we don't want to bring light to certain things, because I do believe that like gentrification is actually alive and well, and it is happening in our communities. But I feel it's also the way you present it. And so I feel like when I'm just reposting things without thinking them or thinking who they're really going to impact to, I think that that's something I also want to be mindful, because I do really value the relationships that I have with, you know, certain people on, or actually all the people on my social medias, you know, and I don't want to offend anybody, you know, but I also want to be true to who I am and the things that I'm passionate about. But I also believe there's a better way to go about it. And so that's something that, you know, once again, I would love prayer about, because I feel like I want to be on fire for God. And I also want to have, you know, this, you know, genuine authenticity to like who I am and the things I like. But I also always want to know that I always want to honor God first. So yeah, that's, I feel like kind of like the season that I'm in when it comes to certain things. I think I got a little bit off topic from where we're going, but I just wanted to kind of share my, where I am with my walk, because I think that also when we look at other people, other Christians, we think that, you know, once you become a Christian, you know, the battle's already done. And really, I feel like you enter into a different kind of a battle. The battle's won, but I feel like the spiritual battle and the learning and the growing, that really never stops. And I feel like it's very accelerated almost. You know, I feel like you're in a crash course sometimes where you're just like learning all these things that I feel like, you know, God is trying to impress on you and like really wants you to go. And I feel like in this season, that's really happening to me. I feel like it's taken me a several years to really get to a place where I feel like I'm picking up a lot of momentum. And I feel like in this season, it's like really going at top speed, and just trying to balance that and trying to balance everything else, is something that I'm learning how to do. And yeah, so I just wanted to share, you know, as a Christian, you know, things definitely, you're always active duty. Basically. So if anybody, yeah, military activity, I don't know, maybe that joke was lost. Something I also really wanted to share is that, you know, there's a story in the Bible called the prodigal son. So if you guys are struggling with feeling like, you know, you're not good enough to come to Christ, I really encourage you guys to read the book in the Bible called The Prodigal Son. And it has to do with a father and his two sons. One son staying, the other one going, wanting his inheritance early. But when he comes home, you know, with nothing, he, you know, says, you know, father, I'll sleep with the pigs. And, you know, just expecting to be treated like a servant. And the father says, no, you know, he's like, I'm rejoicing, I come. And he throws like this huge big party for him, and he runs to his son. And I think that's what the image of what God wants us to imagine when we decide to have a relationship with him, is that just because you've made mistakes, and you may think they're too big, they're never too big for Christ to cover them, never. And when you decide to give your life to him, he will run towards you with open arms and throw you a big party, because his child is coming home. And I think that a lot of people, they don't think that, you know, they really think that their mistakes are too big for God. They think that like he can't absolve or clear that debt. And as we know, the Redeemer is defined as somebody who does that. And that's another reason why I wanted to look into the definitions of what a Redeemer is, because he truly is somebody who clears the debt for us and welcomes us home. It says that he leaves the 99 to find the one, you know? And I always find that so powerful, because none of his sheep, you know, as we are called, none of his sheep are insignificant, whether, no matter how many are going missing. Like, he wants all of us home. He wants every one of us home, no matter what we've done. And I think that's so important to remember, because once again, nothing you've done is too big for Christ to cover. There's always hope with God. You know, I think that's another thing that also needs to be shared, is that a lot of people that I see that come into the office where I work in a psychiatrist's office, they're always, you know, when I glance at their notes when I'm doing authorizations or stuff like that, I always notice that they're saying they have no hope, they're hopeless. And that's a big symptom of depression, is not feeling you have hope. And, you know, something so beautiful about a relationship with God is that there's always hope with Him. You know, there's always a brighter day with Christ. There's always a brighter day with Him. And that He offers us forgiveness, you know, through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so I definitely wanted to share that. You know, at the end of the day, guys, God gave it all for us. He sent His Son. He gave His life. He gave His reputation. He gave His own safety. And He gave His comfortability so that we could be in relationship with Him. And He laid down His glory and position and status to come for the one sheep. And so that's just something I wanted to share with you guys, because I thought it was so important for you guys to know, if you guys are struggling in your relationship, that His love does go far beyond what we think it can reach. And if you are struggling and in a season where you don't feel like God is hearing your plea or hearing your prayers, or you don't know if you want to know Him, I really just invite you to talk to Him today. You know, sit down wherever you are for a few minutes, you know, bow your head, get on your knees, whatever you need to do, and close your eyes and just, you know, ask God to come into your life. Ask Him to talk to you. You know, tell Him your problems, tell Him your worries, tell Him your excitedness, if that's a word. Tell Him, you know, all the things that, you know, you're having a hard time with. Things maybe that you can't open up to your mom or your dad about. Maybe you can't open up to your best friend even about, your cousin or your sisters or your girlfriends or boyfriends, wherever. You know, I really just encourage you guys to do that today, and just see where it goes. You know, I feel like one of the worst, I think it was actually Lecrae, which is a rapper that I listened to. And he said, you know, I'm not quoting him directly, but he said, you know, to give my life to Christ now, and maybe that He's not really real, I'd rather do that than not give my life to Christ and realize that He was, you know. And I feel like that's so powerful, but you know, you don't want to be on the other end of the stick for sure. But I feel in my heart, there's so many things that have happened in my life, guys, and so many answered prayers and so many different things like that, that if it wasn't for Christ, there would be no way. There really wouldn't be. I feel like I'm not supposed to be at this place I'm in. There's so much more to my story that maybe I'll share at a later time, but I just feel like there's no way that my life could have turned out this way without Him. You know, I sometimes feel like I'm not supposed to, you know, be in this space, you know? And so I think that has a lot to do with why I really want to serve, through this podcast and like through my career eventually, to people who also struggle with that, that feel like, you know, they don't have, you know, that opportunity to, you know, be in the position that maybe they're in, or like just give back to people who feel like their mistakes are too big for God. So yeah, I really just wanted to share that with you guys today. I know it was kind of like a ramble / rant. It wasn't really like a structured podcast, but it's definitely real. It's definitely raw. And that was definitely what my goal was with this whole podcast. So I hope you guys got something out of that today. And I definitely wanted to close it with a, you know, what's bright in my day today. What's brightened my day is just, we came off vacation with Hugo. Like I said, I think I mentioned to you guys that Hugo was on vacation, and so we had 1 week with him, and today was Monday. It was just me and Mateo, and he was taking a nap, and I looked at him and I'm just like so in awe that he's my son, that I get the opportunity to be his mom. And I'm just so grateful that I was blessed with the position of being his mom. And also, I felt really called to really step it up, you know, in terms of my goals, you know, in life, and serving God, because I really want to be a good example to him. And so that is my, what is it, June resolution, to just step it up and go hard for my son. So that is what's brighter in my day today. And I hope you guys have a really beautiful rest of your week. I hope you guys continue to put God first in everything you do, and that you do take that time today to speak with him and get to know him. And I'll talk to you guys on the next episode. Bye.